Today is the 11th day of February. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Greetings from Ashdod on the Mediterranean coast in the land of Israel. And no matter where we actually are geographically, we are here together around the global campfire. But we are here on the other side of the world from the rolling hills of Tennessee at this point. Just getting ready to go. We have arrived. We have had our first dinner together, all together here in Ashdod last night. And so we are jet-lagged, tired, disoriented, and so excited to launch in. So we will be heading out for our first day of touring today. Looking forward to being able to share all of those, everything with you, because we're in this together. But today is our first day to light out, and we'll be heading into the wilderness, which ironically is where we find ourselves in the scriptures. At this point, we are with the children of Israel at Mount Sinai in the desert. Moses is upon the top of the mountain, receiving the laws, the codes, the expectations, the covenants, the rituals, the holidays, the way that the society that is being formed will be governed, and how it will be organized. So let's jump in for today. Exodus chapters 32 and 33. After the people saw that Moses had been on the mountain for a long time, they went to Aaron and said, "Make us an image of a God who will lead us and protect us. Moses brought us out of Egypt, but nobody knows what has happened to him." Aaron told them, "Bring me the gold earrings that your wives and sons and daughters are wearing." Everybody took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. Then he melted them and made an idol in the shape of a young bull. All the people said to one another, "This is the God who brought us out of Egypt." When Aaron saw what was happening, he built an altar in front of the idol and said, "Tomorrow we will celebrate in honor of the Lord." The people got up early the next morning and killed some animals to be used for sacrifices and others to be eaten. And everyone ate and drank so much that they began to carry on like wild people. The Lord said to Moses, "Hurry back down. Those people you led out of Egypt are acting like fools. They have already stopped obeying me and have made themselves an idol in the shape of a young bull. They have bowed down to it, offered sacrifices, and said that it is the God who brought them out of Egypt. Moses, I have seen how stubborn these people are, and I'm angry enough to destroy them. So don't try to stop me, but I will make your descendants into a great nation." Moses tried to get the Lord God to change his mind. "Our Lord, you used your mighty power to bring these people out of Egypt. Now don't become angry and destroy them. If you do, the Egyptians will say that you brought your people out here into the mountains just to get rid of them. Please, don't be angry with your people. Don't destroy them. Remember the solemn promise you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You promised that someday they would have as many descendants as there are stars in the sky, and that you would give them land." So even though the Lord had threatened to destroy the people, he changed his mind and let them live. Moses went back down the mountain with the two flat stones on which God had written all of his laws with his own hand, using both sides of the stones. When When Joshua heard the noisy shouts of the people, he said to Moses, "A battle must be going on down in the camp." But Moses replied, "It doesn't sound like they are shouting because they have won or lost a battle. It sounds more like a wild party." As Moses got closer to the camp, he saw the idol, and he also saw the people dancing around. This made him so angry that he threw down the stones and broke them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. He melted the idol the people had made, and he ground it into powder. He scattered it in their water and made them drink it. Moses asked Aaron, "What did these people do to harm you? Why did you make them sin in this terrible way?" Aaron answered, "Don't be angry with me. You know as well as I do that they are determined to do evil. They even told me, 'That man Moses led us out of Egypt, but now we don't know what has happened to him. Make us a god to lead us.' Then I asked them to bring me their gold earrings. They took them off and gave them to me. I threw the gold into a fire, and out came this bull." Moses knew that the people were out of control and that it was Aaron's fault. And now they had made fools of themselves in front of their enemies. So Moses stood at the gate of the camp and shouted, "Everyone who is on the Lord's side, come over here." And the men of the Levi tribe gathered around Moses. And he said to them, "The Lord God of Israel commands you to strap on your swords and go through the camp, killing your relatives, your friends, and your neighbors." The men of the Levi tribe followed his orders, and that day they killed about 3,000 men. Moses said to them, "You obeyed the Lord and did what was right, and so you will serve as his priests for the people of Israel. It was hard for you to kill your own sons and brothers, but the Lord has blessed you and made you his priests today." The next day, Moses told the people, "This is a terrible thing you have done, but I will go back to the Lord to see if I can do something to keep this sin from being held against you." Moses returned to the Lord and said, "The people have committed a terrible sin. They have made a gold idol to be their god, but I beg you to forgive them. If you don't, please wipe my name out of your book." The Lord replied, "I will wipe out of my book the name of everyone who has sinned against me. Now take my people to the place I told you about, and my angel will lead you. But when the time comes, I will punish them for this sin." So the Lord punished the people of Israel with a terrible disease for talking Aaron into making the gold idol. The Lord said to Moses, "You led the people of Israel out of Egypt. Now get ready to lead them to the land I promised their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land rich with milk and honey, and I will send an angel to force out those people who live there, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I will not go with my people. They are so rebellious that I would destroy them before they get there." Even before the Lord said these harsh things, he had told Moses, "These people really are rebellious, and I would kill them at once if I went with them. But tell them to take off their fancy jewelry, then I'll decide what to do with them." So the people started mourning, and after leaving Mount Sinai, they stopped wearing fancy jewelry. Moses used to set up a tent far from camp. He called it the meeting tent, and whoever needed some message from the Lord would go there. Each time Moses went out to his tent, everyone would stand at the entrance to their own tents and watch him enter. Then they would bow down because a thick cloud would come down in front of the tent, and the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, just like a friend. Afterwards, Moses would return to camp, but his young assistant Joshua would stay at the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "I know that you have told me to lead these people to the land you promised them, but you have not said who will go along to help me. You have said that you are my friend and that you are pleased with me. If this is true, let me know what your plans are. Then I can obey and continue to please you. And don't forget that you have chosen this nation to be your own." The Lord said, "I will go with you and give you peace." Then Moses replied, "If you aren't going with us, please don't make us leave this place. But if you do go with us, everyone will know that you are pleased with your people and with me. That way, we will be different from the rest of the people on earth." So the Lord told him, "I will do what you have asked, because I am your friend, and I am pleased with you." Then Moses said, "I pray that you will let me see you in all of your glory." The Lord answered, "All right, I am the Lord, and I show mercy and kindness to anyone I choose. I will let you see my glory and hear my holy name, but I won't let you see my face, because anyone who sees my face will die. There is a rock not far from me. Stand beside it, and before I pass by in all of my shining glory, I will put you in a large crack in the rock. I will cover your eyes with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you will see my back. You will not see my face." Matthew 26, 69 through 27, 14. While Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, a servant girl came up to him and said, "You were with Jesus from Galilee." But in front of everyone, Peter said, "That isn't so. I don't know what you're talking about." When Peter had gone out to the gate, another servant girl saw him and said to some people there, "This man was with Jesus from Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, and this time he swore, "I don't even know that man." A little while later, some people standing there walked over to Peter and said, "We know you are one of them. We can tell it because you talk like someone from Galilee." Peter began to curse and swear, "I don't know that man." Right then, a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered that Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows, you will say three times, 'You don't know me.'" Then Peter went out and cried bitterly. Early the next morning, all the chief priests and the nation's leaders met and decided that Jesus should be put to death. They tied him up and led him away to Pilate, the governor. Judas had betrayed Jesus, but when he learned that Jesus had been sentenced to death, he was sorry for what he had done. He returned the silver coins to the chief priests and leaders and said, "I have sinned by betraying a man who has never done anything wrong." "So what? That's your problem," they replied. Judas threw the money into the temple and then went out and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the money and said, "This money was paid to have a man killed. We can't put it in the temple treasury." Then they had a meeting and decided to buy a field that belonged to someone who made clay pots. They wanted to use it as a graveyard for foreigners. This is why people still call that place Field of Blood. So the words of the prophet Jeremiah came true. They took the 30 silver coins, the price of a person among the people of Israel. They paid it for a potter's field, as the Lord had commanded me. Jesus was brought before Pilate, the governor, who asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Those are your words," Jesus answered. And when the chief priests and leaders brought their charges against him, he did not say a thing. Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear what crimes they say you have done?" But Jesus did not say anything, and the governor was greatly amazed. Psalm 33:1-11. Sing praises to the Lord. You are the Lord's people. Obey him and celebrate. He deserves your praise. Praise the Lord with harps. Use harps with 10 strings to make music for him. Sing a new song. Shout. Play beautiful music. The Lord is truthful. He can be trusted. He loves justice and fairness, and he is kind to everyone everywhere on earth. The Lord made the heavens and everything in them by his word. He scooped up the ocean and stored the water. Everyone in this world should worship and honor the Lord. As soon as he spoke, the world was created. At his command, the earth was formed. The Lord destroys the plans and spoils the schemes of the nations. But what the Lord has planned will stand forever. His thoughts never change. Proverbs 8:33-36. Listen carefully to my instructions, and you will be wise. Come to my home each day and listen to me. You will find happiness. By finding me, you find life, and the Lord will be pleased with you. But if you don't find me, you hurt only yourself. And if you hate me, you are in love with death. Okay, so pretty significant things happening at the bottom of Mount Sinai at this point. Moses is receiving the law on the top of Mount Sinai. The people are down below waiting. It's been a while now. 40 days, roughly the time back to the beginning of the year for us, to put it in context. So they come complaining to Aaron, who tells them to take their gold rings out of their ears from their wives and sons and daughters and bring them to Aaron, who then makes an idol for them to worship. And then they declare that this is the God that had brought them out of Egypt, and they worshipped. And then got a bit crazy. That seems so incongruent with this story, right? Like, how can this happen after all that God has brought them through so visibly, so miraculously? And as we can see from the narrative, God thinks the same thing. He's like, go down the mountain now. Your people that you brought out from Egypt have already corrupted themselves. How quickly they have turned away from exactly what I commanded them. They have chased another God. They're saying these are the gods that brought you out of the land of Egypt. It's like such an about-face that it would almost seem funny, like some kind of comical move, but it's so heartbreaking. They have turned their backs. They have broken covenant. They have stepped out of relationship and reached for something else. They have cheated. And God had moved heaven and earth to set in motion a promise that had taken centuries to cultivate and bring to fruition. And he had shown not only his existence, his presence, but also his power in Egypt. And not just that, he had been feeding these people in the wilderness while leading them by a pillar of fire in the night and a cloud by day. God was obviously in their presence. They had visual proof of it. They had seen his power. He had chosen them, and he wanted to know them and be known by them. And they knew the story they were a part of. They knew the promise. And here they are, giving themselves to another, bowing to an idol in worship. This would be comical in our own lives if it weren't equally as heartbreaking in our own stories. Because when God does seem distant, or the path seems unclear or foggy, and it's been a long time in the waiting, we often find ourselves playing the same role, ignoring the obvious that God is present, that he has sustained us, that he has led us in ways that we are choosing to ignore in order to cope, in order to deal with our own pain, in order to regulate outside of relationship. And so we become, as the children of Israel, compulsive, impulsive, obsessive. We search for anything that we can reach for that promises life, even if it will only bring death and destruction. And so may we remember that we're reading this story of the family of Abraham that is a mirror into our own stories. And may we remember that anything that we reach for and give our heart to, even a little, in search of life that is not God or of God, is giving our hearts in worship to an idol, is breaking covenant, breaking our commitment. And we may find, if we would be self-aware enough to slow things down and truly consider what we're saying here, that we reach and bow more often than we are willing to realize or admit. The thing is, as this story goes forward, we will find that this is not a small thing. This is a big deal. The children of Israel's tendency toward idolatry is kind of like our own, and it explains so much about the shape our lives take and the paths our lives go on. If we don't pay attention, it is to our own doom. God has already clearly said he is a jealous God. That is in a language we should probably be understand in terms of relationship. He's not gonna share what he is in covenant with and who he is in covenant with any more than we are. That's not to say he's an insecure, pouty God. It's to say he is faithful, he is loyal, and when he is betrayed, his heart is broken, which is a sobering reality that we should acknowledge and even press into. The book of Proverbs gives us some counsel today and it is the voice of wisdom speaking. Whoever finds me finds life and will receive favor from the Lord. Those who abandon or miss me are only harming and injuring themselves. Everyone who hates me loves death. So, may we consider what is coming out of the book of Exodus today as we look at the children of Israel story and as we look at our own. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that, into these moments of self-awareness, of self-reflection. We invite you, Spirit of Truth, to shine the light of truth into the darkness of our own hearts. We have a really nice living room that people can see. We're inviting you into the basement, into the closet. We're rolling up the carpets. We are allowing you into the attic. We are allowing you into the hidden places and inviting you there to bring truth and to help us clean these closets and basements and attics out so there is nothing that we are reaching for or turning to that would betray you. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome back to another edition
of whatever this is.
With Brian and Jill. This is the jet lag edition.
I'm Jill.
I'm Brian. welcome to Israel.
Yes.
Welcome to Israel, everybody. So,
I was going to say this is the first edition this year, but it's not. We did a little move in, whatever this is.
Yeah, we did.
So this is the first edition of Israel, back to Israel.
Yeah, we have not been to Israel in some years now.
Mm-hmm.
Man, since like, you know, the 20s came around. It's been difficult to be around. And so it's really, really good to be back in the land of the Bible. And it's really glad. I mean, it's really exciting that we get to be back together. And every day, you know, for the next while we're traveling around, we get to do this together.
Whatever this is, we get to do it together.
So this is the jet lag edition because that's the truth. And all those who have come along for the ride are also aware that it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And so, I feel pretty good about acclimating.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistically, hopefully optimistic.
Yeah. So, it takes a couple of days, but we are sitting here across the street from the Mediterranean Sea.
Whoop, whoop.
And it's beautiful, and it's so interesting because we've been now, you know, since we did the book of Acts and traveled like the journeys of Paul and some of the Apostle John in the early church just several months ago, we've kind of been all around the Mediterranean Sea.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
And so this is the end of it. Like, we're at the other end of it than we were. And, you know, when we were in Turkey and stuff, we're at the north of the Mediterranean. Now we're at the extreme east of the Mediterranean coast. But we're here, right across the street from the ocean. We are in Ashdod, Israel, tonight. I mean, we'll be departing here, but this is kind of staging, the staging ground for everybody who's come in. And it was really fun to see the buses arrive. From from the airport, from all of the flights that were coming in today, from people all, from all over.
Yeah, and to meet the people, some of the people, and where they're from. We've got Canada represented.
Yeah, the UK, London.
Hawaii.
Hawaii. All over the place. Texas. I'm not even sure everywhere that if I could remember. We met a lot of friends, a lot of the Global Campfire friends tonight.
Yeah, these are just the ones that we met. We haven't met everybody. And to see our friends, our guides.
Yeah.
Our Sherry.
Yeah. Just everybody that's a part of the team. That it's just a lot to pull all this together, and it's worth it. It's beautiful. It's lovely. But to finally see it come together.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're kind of in the delirious stage of adrenaline and jet lag, but we're here. It's not like today around the Global Campfire, we have all of these really, really interesting things that we saw and learned, because this is just staging. So the one thing that we have done is get here, which is step one.
Yeah, it's a big, big step.
And then step two is like, try to sleep through the first night, which, you know, we both did in different ways. And I just kind of take a minute to breathe the air and say, we're here. This is really beautiful. It's really good to be back on this soil, on this land, in this land, among our friends. And then
in all sincerity, not to be silly, but to give thanks to God for being here, because there's a little bit of anxiety for me just flying across a big body of water.
Yeah.
And you don't do that for a while, and then some of the fear starts setting in, and the what ifs. So I just was so grateful getting here last night, even just being tired and dirty.
Yeah.
But being so grateful to God for His provision and for our safety and our family being here.
Yeah.
And shout out to our boys, Tyler and Christian, who have done an exceptional job.
Yep.
As well as you, babe.
Thank you.
All the details.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's to have everybody and some of our family for the first time. This is really cool.
Yeah. And so, some not, which is sad, but.
Yeah.
Not everybody can make it.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
That's just part of it. Ages and stages.
Yep.
But we don't have a lot of spiritual or even travelogue things to say. We just are kind of tuning in. This is our first chance to be together and kind of get this thing going. So, we got a little acclimated today. Got to breathe the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really pretty day. Got to see the ocean.
Yeah.
Got to kind of put our feet on the soil and say we're here. And then got to see the buses as they arrived, and just see the whole, all of those months of preparation start to work.
Yeah.
And see the, efficiencies and just the challenges and just getting everything going. So.
Saw a beautiful bride in the hotel.
Yeah.
Someone getting married. Mm-hmm. That's always so fun.
Yeah. Yep. So,
and then to touch the people.
Yeah. We got here, had our welcome dinner, and got to see everybody for the first time. And it's going to be so fun to take this adventure. And like we said tonight, this pilgrimage.
Yeah.
And open our hearts and walk the soil, smell the smells, touch the places, see the sights, and kind of place ourselves in the stories.
Yeah.
And kind of walk the Bible as we understand these stories and put ourselves in them. So it was really, really fun to see everybody.
Yeah, it was.
We have so many people to meet, but it's so fun to just see everybody together for us, you know, we're every day in front of this microphone, and when we get to get out among the community, it's a meaningful and rich and enriching thing.
Yeah.
So anyway,
sorry, I don't mean to interject, but I kind of do mean to interject.
Of course you do.
Sorry. Yeah, so we had an incident a few weeks ago that we were just walking along and someone was randomly having dinner.
Yeah.
And she spotted you.
And we're in this completely different state.
Completely different state.
Way far
away
from home.
She was in a completely different state.
Uh-huh.
And I don't say that because, you know, to state like there's notoriety. I say that because it was such a good reminder. There are people behind this microphone whose lives are changed because of the Bible.
Yeah.
And in 2 minutes, 7 seconds, whatever, she gave us a little glimpse of that story.
Yeah.
And she's in tears and I'm fighting back tears.
Yeah.
And we're just walking back, you know, from having a walk on the beach and,
yeah.
This is that magnified, just to see the people hear the stories. It's so good for you and I to remember, oh, behind us just yakking every day, there are people whose lives are really being transformed by the Bible.
I can't believe we get to do this.
Yes.
Yeah. Of all the people in the world, we are like the least of these.
Well, not. I don't see that for you. I'm like, there's nobody more qualified than you.
I don't know. I'm grateful that, and for this to be 20 years, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy. So anyway.
And I think it just feels so different for you and I to be here together this time.
Yeah, it does.
And I like it.
I like it too. We've traveled some peaks and valleys to get here, and it's really, really good to be here.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful. I'm looking forward to it. So Ashdod is where we are. We will light out tomorrow, and day by day by day, we will do whatever this is.
Mm-hmm.
And open our hearts. That's what we encouraged everybody to do tonight. That's what we're going to do ourselves, is open our hearts and let it happen.
Yeah.
Just kind of let it hit how it hits. And we can go in kind of, you know, white knuckling this whole thing and trying to control everything. Or we can just let the flow happen and move through. And even though we've maybe visited these places ourselves in the past, it's never the same. It's like the Bible. It's like never the same. If you're open, there's new things everywhere. And I'm glad to be back here.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to open up and walk the soil of the Bible, of the stories that we so often read.
Mm-hmm.
And take it all in, drink it all in, and let it in.
Yeah.
So just welcoming everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody around the global campfire here to the land of the Bible, this ancient Philistine stronghold of Ashdod. Isn't that weird?
It is so weird.
This ancient Philistine territory that we're in right now. But we will be heading out.
Yeah.
And heading in a southerly direction tomorrow, and looking forward to sharing everything that happens. But for now, this is just our first high.
Check it, a little touch point.
Just a little check in, and glad to be here and looking forward to our time together, not only in the Bible, but each day as we travel the land of the Bible, bringing the whole community along for the ride.
Yeah, for sure.
While we travel the land of the Bible.
Yeah, and we won't go through the whole day tomorrow, but we begin in the desert.
Yeah.
In the wilderness.
Yeah.
So, I guess there's not much more. Well, I do want to just mention, I got to represent tonight.
Yeah? Yes.
In the shirt that you have had.
I'm looking at this right now, and it's so, it's, I don't know, there's something, this is special.
Mm-hmm.
Special to see you wearing that.
So, Brian's dad journeyed to Israel when you were, what, 16?
I believe so. I might have been 15.
Okay, so that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, 4.
And you have held on to this shirt for this long. And I took it out of your drawer years ago.
Yeah.
And put it in my drawer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, that is such a cool retro t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But I was too heavy. I couldn't wear it all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was literally thinking about it a few days ago. And you were unpacking some things at the bottom of your closet. And I saw it. And I was like, oh, I want to wear your retro shirt in Israel.
Yeah.
And so I represented tonight.
I mean, you're wearing it right now.
Wearing it right now.
So, I mean, the story, my dad has been, you know, gone for over 20 years. Like, he never saw any of the Daily Audio Bible or anything like that. But he was a pastor. I'm a pastor's son and kind of grew up in that way, behind the curtain, you know, behind the pulpit. And
the thing I always heard about your dad was that he was such a great Bible teacher.
Yeah. And he came here one time in his life, and I was just a kid, so the impact of it, I had no idea, like, what it would be like to come here.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've been here, like, 17 times, and he brought me this t-shirt from Israel so long ago, and you're wearing it. I still have it, and you're wearing it.
I wanted to kick it off tonight.
I thought that was really cool. I mean, I'm looking at you wearing it right now, and I'm thinking, that's the perfect way to start this pilgrimage. I love that you have it on.
I love that you let me wear it. Happy to represent.
Yeah.
Bring a little piece of your dad here with us.
Yeah. 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 Well, we don't have a whole lot to say, and we're just kind of rambling, so welcome to Israel, everybody, around the Global Campfire. We're really looking forward to immersing ourselves and bringing the campfire into the land that all of the stories and all of the events and all of the moves and acts of God that we read about every day, where so much of this actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's meaningful.
Yeah.
To actually walk the soil and bring things out of the imagination and into the crunching of the earth beneath our feet.
Yeah.
And the smells in our nostrils and the, you know, the sights that come into our eyes and the things that we hear, and bring these stories to life and be in those stories and find our lives in them and find God there. So looking forward to this trip, looking forward to reading, you know, moving forward chronologically and moving forward in the Daily Audio Bible every day, and grateful, I guess, grateful, really, really grateful. Can't believe we get to do this. And I mean, we said it at the top. I said it at the top. I don't, you know, could have never imagined what us of all people in the world, but
yeah,
glad and grateful.
Yeah.
To be here with you, baby, and grateful to be with all of you around the Global Campfire. So welcome to the land of the Bible. We look forward to the adventure, day by day, step by step. But that's it for today.
Gonna try to go to sleep.
Gonna try to get some rest. We got a big day tomorrow. And so we're gonna sign off for now. I am Brian.
I'm Jill.
And we love you, and we'll be waiting for you.
Tomorrow.
Good morning, this is Mary from North Carolina. It is actually February 5th, but I'm behind a little bit. I just got through listening to February 3rd, and I heard all the prayer requests, and it's just been on my heart because it just seems like God is really doing a new thing with the DAB community, chronological and across the board. And while I was listening to the prayer requests, I could really feel God's presence, and it was almost as if we were all in the same room looking at each other, praying for one another. And so I'm just encouraging everyone to continue to lift each other up, be the intercessors that he is maturing us all to be for one another. There is a connection that's beyond human understanding going on right now in the community. And I pray that as God works in this community, that prayers will be answered exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask or think. And that people truly know, whether they're in the physical presence of someone or across the world, that you are connected and are valued because God put us together to lift up one another and encourage one another and love on one another, even from a distance. I felt uplifted this morning. Like I say, I've been battling loneliness and trying to figure out where God wants me to be, what my place is. And if nothing else, I can be an intercessor for everyone out there on a daily basis. You all be blessed. Love each and every one of you all across the world. DAB, chronological kids and everything. God bless you. And Jesus is Lord in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, Dabbers. This is D-Baby again, and calling from Oregon. I have a client. I'm a financial professional, and I love to help people save money and have peace of mind about their future. And I have a friend of mine who I met many years ago, a distant friend, but we know each other. And she almost died this last September. She's in really rough shape in her body. Her one of her legs is very, very huge, and the other leg is getting bigger. She's lost a lot of weight in her torso, but and her hair seems to be falling out. But she's only in her 50s. So I just want to pray for my sweet friend in Colorado. And please pray for Danette. Please pray for a miracle. She got involved in some kind of prayer thing, and things have been confusing to her, and she feels like she got off the rails somewhere. And I just pray for her to get on track with Jesus and to feel blessed and to know that he loves her just the way she is. You know, so often we get off track and feel like we've done something wrong, so we're into works again. Would you pray for a miracle for my friend Annette, for her life to turn around? I'm helping her with an estate plan right now, and her son, her mother's 92 in good shape, and her son deals with a mental disability. So thank you for praying for Annette and Brian. God bless you, friends. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Hope everybody's doing well, beautiful Dabbers. Sparky, I heard your message and your prayer, and I just wanted to pray with you, for you, and ask the Dabbers to join me in this prayer for you, for your redemption, for your freedom, and we praise the Lord for a praise report on this, and we're also praying for your wife since she's dealing with this with you. Father, I'm praying for Sparky. I thank you, Lord, that you convicted his heart enough for him to come over here and ask for prayers. I thank you, Lord, for giving him the courage, Lord, to be able to see the error of his ways and, Lord, to confess his sins. And we know that you are sure to forgive it, Lord Jesus. We're asking, Lord, for the strength that he needs moving forward. We're praying that, Lord, in the moment that he gets tempted, that you will move his heart and his mind away from that fake release that he gets from that bottle that he's drinking, Lord Jesus, that I pray that you will place in his path ways for him to relieve his stress and illuminate to him, Lord Jesus, exactly what it is that is causing him to go over and to drink at night, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for his strength. I pray for his freedom, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will hold him and veer him away, Lord. I ask for the people that surround him, especially his wife, that, Lord, you will strengthen the both of them in their marriage and see them through this, Lord. Give him the strength that he needs. Give him everything and the resources, Lord. Give him the courage, oh God, to be able to surrender everything over to you. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Please give him the strength and everything, Lord, he's asking for that he was not able to fully communicate with the Dabbers. Thank you, Lord, for listening.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible. This is Nancy calling from Medina, New York. It is Thursday, February 5th, and we're going to February. Just a few updates and a prayer request. My husband's doing good. His hip replacement surgery, he's cleared, and that's all great. Just keep him in prayers. He's have to do PT for his shoulder, which has been a problem for years, but he doesn't have to have surgery, and he's now doing PT for his lower back, which has been in a lot of pain for a while, but that's getting better. Also, thank you for your prayers for my daughter, Sabrina, who had the brain surgery. And it was like some hiccups on the first part, but she's doing good. Just pray for her PTSD. She's been having problems with that, with the major car accident that she was in with my vehicle 2 years ago, and then the different problems that happened with the surgeries. But she is doing well. My daughter Nicole, who lives in Virginia, asked for prayer for her sister-in-law, who just found out. Her name is Jamie. And she just found out she has breast cancer. It's not one of the really bad ones, and they're planning on just taking the lump out and hoping that that will take care of it. So if you can pray for Jamie. She has, she's a single mom with I believe her son's in college and her daughter is possibly in high school, I'm not sure. So if you can pray for Jamie. And I'm not sure if I got enough time, but the plan is for my daughter, Nicole, and her husband to be up here by June and to live up here now. So if you can keep that in your prayers also. Okay, have a great night. Thanks so much. Bye, love you, bye.